Happy Sabbath. What do you say to that beautiful music? Well, I wish we could listen to that over and over again. God bless you, sister, and Charles, for the wonderful work on the instrument. I want to thank God for giving me a chance to be here, and it's so happy to see each and every one of you today. I am so happy to see my friends back there from Pleasant Street. God bless you. We will pray and we read the Bible and then we sing our last song and we'll be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful, blessed Sabbath day. As we listen to your word, may you speak to each and every one of us. May you transform our hearts. Give us Christ, Father, and bless us today. And forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. When God created this earth, his desire was to repopulate it with the human race. Since the fallen angels, who were deceived by Satan, the one third, they left a gap in heaven. And so the good Lord, out of love, created the human race, Adam and Eve. And as the story goes, they fell into temptation. They ultimately sinned. But this did not stop God from taking care of the people who he created. And so, generation after generation, God was with his people, regardless of this thing called sin. And many years later, God decided to deal with this problem of sin once and for all. And he sent his only begotten Son, as we have read in the text today. And so Christ came to this world with one purpose: to destroy sin. And when Christ was here, he performed every act out of kindness and love from his heart. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. To the poor, he gave hope. He was with the human race every single day because he loved them and he still loves us today. And one of the recipients of this love from Christ is a woman in the scripture in the book of John chapter 8. Let's read John chapter 8. It's a New Testament. It's an incredible story of this lady who was a recipient of Christ's love. And we will read from verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And they had set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now look, Christ is teaching in the temple. And suddenly he sees a multitude. He's interrupted by a multitude led by the rabbis, or the teachers, the so-called teachers of the law. With them is a woman who was caught in the very act. Now, in this world, we have several ways of how we perceive sins, different cultures, and we have several ways of how we see sin. There's a particular tribe in the southern side of Africa. It's called the Bambemba tribe. Now, this tribe, they believe that once they get you sinning, let's say they caught you stealing, the entire community is announced to that there's someone we got and he was caught stealing. And they gather into a place, they put the criminal right in the middle of the community, and they form a circle around him. Now what they do, they start saying good things about this person. They start reconnecting him with his good nature, with his or her good nature. They tell him or her about his strength, his positive attributes, because they believe without positivity, this man will come back to the man he was before he committed that act. On the contrary, there's some other cultures, mostly in Eastern Africa, when it comes to sin, and especially the sin of adultery, what they do, they go to a witch doctor. Well, they do those things over there, and you know, they get a charm. And so, when you commit this sin, they get you in the very act because of those charms and everything. And what they do, they get you, the man and the woman. They parade you all over the community. They shame you in front of people. Sometimes they even beat you. This is what happened to this lady over here. She was caught in the very act. She was brought to Christ. The shame, the guilt, I don't know where they left the man. But continuing the story on verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what seest thou? Well, these people, they were used to testing Jesus. They always tried to test him so that they could get him into error, so that they could kill him. And they asked him, hey, look, Moses said, if we get someone doing this, we stone them. Now you, Jesus, what do you say? Because to them, they believe that they had the authority to allow, if you were caught committing this sin, only them that knew that, it's only them who could give a green light for you to be stoned. So if Christ supported Moses, they couldn't believe that he came to save the people. And if he said they stone her, they would think that he took from them the authority that they pridefully possessed. And so they put him into a test. But Christ looked at them and he read their hearts and minds, and he knew exactly what they were thinking. What did he do? Verse 6. This they said, tempting him, they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So, they're talking to him, but Jesus is looking at them, and with his finger, stooped down, started writing. Now, what did he write? He read their minds and their hearts. Among them, there were thieves among them. And he wrote, a thief. There were adulterers, Sabbath breakers. These people who actually claim to keep the commandment, they never kept it, but they wanted to enforce it, claiming that they were righteous themselves. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, Christ has exposed their hypocrisy. Feel guilty. You see your own sins right over there and say, well, if you have no sin, be the first to cast the stone. They leave the sin. They brought this woman to Christ so that they could shame her. But little did they know, at the feet of Jesus, that's where she belonged. Listen, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and see no more. I mean, Christ didn't say, oh, you know what? It's fine. You've seen, man. It's all right. He never lessened the weight of the sin. But he understood she was weak. And he knew that only love could get her out of that situation. And from his heart to the people he came to save, he gave such a strong sermon. And the philosophers of the Bible, those who really read the Bible say that this woman, when Christ was crucified, she was the last person to leave the cross. Because the forgiveness touched her heart, and she became one of the most active followers of Jesus. It's because of love that Christ did this. And in a very beautiful story, the great suffering of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a biblical story that's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, from verse 36 going on to 46. Christ is about to be crucified, and this is the ultimate test. Satan and his forces now, he's ready to, this is the last one. It's the last shot. And Christ is right here, carrying the weight of the sin of the world. He's about to give up. So he goes with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he leaves some at the entrance of the garden. He goes further into the garden. If you read the story, Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 going on, he carries Peter, James, and John. And he tells them, hey, guys, I'll leave you here. Tarry right here, but pray for yourselves and pray for me too. And Ellen White, when she describes this story of Gethsemane at the garden, she says, the disciples never, since they began following Jesus, they never saw Jesus so quiet. So the agony, the weight of the sin was weighing him down. That's the worst they ever seen Jesus. And so Jesus told these three disciples, hey, wait, just stay right here. I'm going way further to the garden. I'll pray. Pray for me and pray for yourselves. And so Christ went further. He fell prostrate on the ground. He held onto that grass. He wanted to give up. And Ellen White says, the trees around him, they started producing the dew, started falling on Jesus, as if though the nature was crying for its Father. And Jesus, for three times he said, Father, take away this cup from me. But not as I will, though, as you will. This was the final test, and Satan came. Full force. And when the angels in heaven saw what Christ was going through, for the first time, the entire heaven was quiet. there was silence in heaven. The most beautiful place we can ever think of, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's some loud singing, good music, happiness. When they look at the creator of the universe, they went silent. There's no music, no up was dashed. Because Christ knew the weight that I'm carrying right now is it's so heavy on me. Two things. If I give up, the Father, my Father, I'll be separated with Him forever. Forever. So He had a choice of saying, you know what, I'm not doing this. But because of the love that He had for you and for me, He said, you know what, I'll go through it all. And so God saw this man over here, Christ is about to give up. And what did He do? He sent a mighty angel, the angel who took place of Lucifer when he fell. The covering angel, He told him, just go and encourage him. That's when the angel came down and encouraged Jesus and lifted him. You know, when you are weighed by the burdens of this life, they're with us every single day. Starting right now, when we walk out of this place, the whole world is up against you. When I leave church, I say, I'm back to the real life now. You admit things out there. Some things will weigh you down. You will have no idea what to do. But I pray that God will send you a mighty angel to strengthen you every day. Because it's not easy. And when we come here to church Sabbath day, we're only here for like 3-4 hours. But we are out there in the world for so many hours. Then even coming to church, we're like, it's Sabbath, all right. Because I wish we had like 3 days or 4 days here in church. But it's only one and some few hours. And so most of the time, we spend that time out there. You know, the people, our workplace, the people around us, challenges here and there. And sometimes we feel like we want to give up. But may the good Lord send you an angel every single minute. That when you fall and feel that you don't have any strength to carry on, may He lift you up and carry you like He did to Christ. And Christ came to His friends who were supposed to pray for Him, but they were sleeping. And He asked them, guys, you can just stay awake for me when I need you the most. And so Christ, seeing their human weakness, said, it's all right, you can rest. Christ suffered in that garden alone for sins He never committed. Now, you see the scripture when you read the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5:8. You have it? You have it? Say amen. All right. But God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commanded His love toward us. While we were sinners, He loved us the way we are. When God created us, He knew we would sin. By the way, when He created you, He knew yesterday you will commit a sin somewhere. But He still created you and me. He knows tomorrow when we leave church, we fall into temptation. But He still created us. And if He ever needed us to be a part of the heavenly population, then why will He not give us the strength to face every single day? Now you understand why God says, Christ says, if you ask anything in my name, my Father will do it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a powerful scripture. But read John chapter 15, 12 and 13. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He doesn't say he laid his life for his friends who were so deep into sin. He says his friends ends it there. When Christ looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees a candidate for heaven. And the heaven where he went to prepare a place for us. Of course, he's preparing right now. For who? For you and for me. And if he never ever needed us, there's no way he could concentrate so much on making us happy when we go to heaven. You know, when we sit on that, you know, that huge table, that we walk the streets of gold and the pearly gates. I mean, he's making heaven beautiful for you. And so Christ needs you every day. It doesn't matter what you have done. The lady, according to the culture, the traditions, and the human standards, she never deserved forgiveness. She was supposed to be stoned and die. But Christ, he never came for that. He came so that we might have life and have it in full. And so every day as you walk through the journey of life from heaven with love, may you share that love with someone else, because we all need it. You don't know what your neighbor is going through. But at the end of the day, our ultimate source is Jesus. And when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full into his face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of what? Glory and grace. There you go. All right. And so, closing hymn, he gave his life for me and for you. What are you willing to do for him? May his love touch you in a special way today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May that love be with us every single day. May you remind us each and every moment how much you love us and how much you need us. Keep us safe from the evil one as we go out there in the world, as we start the week. Start it with us. Till we meet again on Sabbath. Keep us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks.